Hi, listeners. Welcome back to this week's episode of A Walk with a Father podcast. Once again, I'll be having my interesting co-host, Edmond, with me on this one. In this episode, we'll be discussing Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 23. It came up a couple of weeks ago with people speaking about sin so casually as if it's really normal. But we are here to discuss what scripture says about walking by the Spirit and to encourage everyone to trust in Him, because He will give you the ability to exhibit the fruits of the Spirit. Hi, Edmond.
Hi, everybody.
Awesome.
I guess
that aren't you interesting? Okay. So, Galatians 5:16, we will be, so like I said, we'll be taking our scripture, the Bible study scripture from Galatians 5:16 to 22. So I'll read the Amplified Version. It says, "But I say, walk habitually in the Holy Spirit, seek Him and be responsive to His guidance. Then you certainly not carry out the desire of the sinful nature, which responds impulsively without regard for God and His precepts. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the Spirit, are in direct opposition to each other, continually in conflict, so that you as a believer do not always do whatever good things you want to do. 18. But if you are guided and led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law." I'll hold it there and then condense the other ones. But I'll start by sharing what my thoughts are and then I give it to Edmond. So I will share my thoughts by taking us to the Passion Translation of this same scripture. It says, "Let me emphasize this. As you yield to the dynamic life and power of the Holy Spirit, you will abandon the cravings of your self-life. When your self-life craves the things that offend the Holy Spirit, you hinder Him from living free within you. And the Holy Spirit's intense cravings hinder your self-life from dominating you. So then the two incompatible and conflicting forces within you are your self-life of the flesh and the new creation life of the Spirit." So in essence, for me, I think Paul says it nicely when he talks about, you know, put the things that I want to do, you know, I'm not able to do, which is why he chooses to put his body under, which is why he was encouraging us at least, right, to do the same. I believe that one of the really tough things to do is live, is, so like I was saying, I think that one of the toughest things to do is to live without the Holy Spirit, but somehow the world makes us feel like self-life is what it is. It's like living in sin, gratifying the flesh, and instead of putting the body under, allowing it to float on top, and rather pushing the Spirit under is the way forward. But clearly, as we can see in Galatians 5, the freedom that we have, the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. The freedom we have, because we are spirit beings, don't forget that we're made in the image and likeness of God. And so we are like Him, right? And He is a spirit. And so actually, if you want to think about the order of who you are as you, your spirit should be first, right? But gratifying the flesh puts the flesh in a position that it's not. And eventually, there will be consequences for it, right? And so just like the Passion Translation says, do not put self-life first. Abandon the cravings of your self-life. And we'll talk more about what the self-life is. Eddie, over to you.
All right. Okay, so I would like to talk about Galatians from, I want to summarize them from verse 1 to 15. Okay. And yeah, which I think it will give me time to read. So Paul was saying that, this scripture is so interesting. Paul was saying that from verse 1 to 15, I'm trying to summarize it, was trying to say that there are two types of righteousness. There's the righteousness by the law, and then the righteousness by the Spirit. By the law, Paul was saying that there's no way we can fulfill it. So I was trying to tell us that. Let us stand firmly. Let us not be shaky. Once we've decided to be righteous by the law, by the Spirit, let us not move. Let us not go and come back. But let us stand firm in the righteousness, which is of the Spirit. I think that it makes sense, because there's no way we can fulfill the righteousness by the law. So if Jesus Christ has come to die, fulfill all the righteousness by the law, it's not saying that just believe and you'll be holy. Why are we trying to go back under the law? It doesn't really make sense. That's what Paul was trying to tell the people of Galatians, that Christ has done all these things. It's not by works anymore. There's no, your works there, you fail and you die. Because once you fail by the law, the punishment is death. But now Christ has come to fulfill everything for us. And all that is required of us is read the last part. It says all that counts is faith. Just believe that Christ has come to fulfill this, and you'll be saved. So I don't know why the people of Galatians, I don't know what they were thinking, that they'll make Paul say that. Because Paul's like, Christ has come to die for you, to fulfill the law for you. But why are you trying to go back under the law? Well, that side, what are you doing to me? You can't. So that's the whole thing about it from verse 1 to this. But it says that you have the Spirit of God. And I think another version said, once you have the Spirit of God, you should walk in the Spirit. My question is, how do you walk in the Spirit? Because we are human beings, we are physical beings. How do we walk? Or I don't know if the Bible is trying to tell us you should be suspending the air.
No.
Or be vanishing.
That's interesting. So I'll share my take on what it means to walk by the Spirit. So walking by the Spirit is allowing the Holy Spirit to walk you, like to lead you, right? I remember I used to do babysitting when I was living outside to make some small cash for myself. And I remember one little guy, so he's 3 years. I don't remember what his name was, Paul or something like that. But you have to take them for walks and stuff in the park, so that they are not just home playing, right? It kind of saves everybody some stress. They need to exert the energy. I remember where he lived was really nice, and like hills and all these nice stuff. And I remember holding his hand, you know, and just like walking him on the path, and then he lets go of my hand. The next thing that happened was that he fell, and I was like, oh my gosh. First of all, of course, my concern, because his skin tone is much lighter, when he gets a scratch, the impact is something else. I'm like, oh, I now have to go and explain. But thank God that didn't happen, because I was wearing trousers. But you know, when you asked me that question, that's the story that came. Walking by the Spirit is walking per the precepts of the Spirit. What the Holy Spirit subscribes, would like us to subscribe to, right? And like the little boy, if he had walked where I said he should walk, if he had just allowed me to guide him on the way he should go, he wouldn't have gone the other way, because it would have been impossible, because the constraints around his decision, you know, to step on that rock and fall down, I would have preempted it and protected him from it, right? So walking by the Spirit is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you, right? And it includes, as we read further, the fruits of the Spirit. It includes gifts. The gifts that we operate, the gifts of the Spirit that we operate by. It's like allowing the Holy Spirit to take the reins, like to lead us, to guide us, to be involved in our lives. To me, that's what it means by walking by the Spirit. It's like not always double checking your thoughts per se, but when you are led by him, it's like it's so evident some of the decisions you take in terms of obedience, etc. It's like walking by the Spirit is allowing him to guide you. I mean, in the simplest possible terms that I can explain. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Okay, so before I explain, before we gave our life to Christ, sin was in control of us. So the verse 1, it was saying that we shouldn't go back into slavery. We shouldn't go back into the bondage, but rather standing firmly in the freedom that Christ has given us. So now it's the Spirit of God that is living in us. Because once you have accepted Christ, the Spirit of God is living in us. So you are no longer slave to sin. Oh, I wish I could sing that song, but not now. I have a good... Listeners, I have a very sweet voice. I'll one day sing for you. So, we are no longer in bondage. Sin has no control over us. Now we are in control. We can decide to give power to the sin or go back under the bondage of sin or go back under the influence of the Holy Spirit. At first, we didn't have the option. At first, we didn't have the option to choose because sin was the master. But now, sin is no more the master. We are in charge. The Holy Spirit lives within us. So now we have the power. Paul is saying that you have the power to go back to be a slave, or you can go back and walk, or you can go and walk with the Holy Spirit or be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, when he says walk in the Spirit, or walk, another version says walk habitually by the Spirit. Let's create this scenario. Let's say you have two plants. One is flesh and one is spirit. If you wake up in the morning, if you pour water on the, let's say, flesh, trim it, make sure you're able to turn the soil small for irrigation and other things, and you neglect the spirit, you realize that the flesh will grow and become a very good plant. Likewise, if you start taking care of the spirit, like the plant named Spirit, and then you trim it, you water it, you stir the soil once a while, you add some small manure, you realize that the spirit plant will grow. So that's what Paul is saying, that we should walk in by the Spirit. We should ignore the leadings and the edges, self-pleasure, the thing that we think is more pleasure, and it gives us some self-gratification. We should ignore it and just rather focus on the Spirit. When I say Spirit, the thing that will make our spirit grow is reading the Bible, praying, going to church, listening to gospel music, not sitting with God, ungodly people, or not being yoked with ungodly people. Those are the things that fasting, listening to sermons, those are the things that is going to make your spirit grow. And it will build your faith. But I think that's what Paul meant by walking habitually, because it's something that I have to be intentional about, something that I have to be conscious. Is there a word like consciously about? Yes, you have to be conscious about. And you have to be intentional about it, so that you grow your spirit. And then by the time you realize that, the flesh will gradually die. I think that's what it meant by walking by the Spirit. Amen.
So I like what you said, right? And the Amplifier says it nicely. It says, walk habitually in the Spirit. Seek Him and be responsive to His guidance, right? So it's like, allow Him to lead you, because He's the only one that can protect you from putting your hands in fire. He's the only one that can protect you from stepping into fire. And sometimes it makes me, sad that we assume that the Holy Spirit puts restrictions on us. But like in Galatians 5, what we see is that, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Like, freedom comes from the Holy Spirit. So there is no way that you would walk by the Spirit and, like Paul says, habitually in the Holy Spirit and be in bondage. Like, it won't happen, right? So you have to allow yourself to be led by Him. Allow Him, like the little boy I was speaking about, allow Him to hold your hand. Allow Him to teach you liberty. Allow Him to teach you the true expression of Himself. And that can only happen when we do not gratify the desires of the flesh, like Edmund was sharing. So I think we'll just jump right into what the sinful nature is. And the Passion Translation says the self-life, right? So it says, for the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the Spirit, And the desire of the spirit opposes the sinful nature, which we've read. So I'm jumping to 19. It says, now the practices of the sinful nature are clearly evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, total irresponsibility, lack of self-control, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions that promote heresies, envy, drunkenness, riotous behavior, and other things like these. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. One of the reasons why I like the scripture is definitely not to judge others, but I think that the breakdown of the sinful nature, like it, sometimes in my head I'm thinking, oh my gosh, there really is nothing new under the sun, like Ecclesiastes says. Because those days, I mean, the things happening in our days now, but anyway, the Bible stories from the past, some of them are wild. So I mean, wild enough for God to wipe out an entire world to leave a few people, then it was crazy. But so I think a lot about it, even with technology and all of that, like what's happening now, like sin, doing sinful stuff is super normal. Like, you know, and someone was sharing with me that a young lady told her, a young unmarried lady told her that, oh, she was gifting herself an IUD, like let's say for Christmas, her Christmas presents is an IUD, so that she won't be pregnant.
Mm.
And in my head, I'm like, wait, do you remember what Galatians 5:19 says? You cannot be doing that, you know. And that's the issue. Sometimes we don't realize that you are actually keeping yourself under the law, right? When you embrace sin in that way, because the price has been paid. So right now you are being a slave to something that should not even exist for you. It's that God has paid that debt. You're giving your life to him, and now your choice is to live. For me, I don't think I can. Like, I don't know what I'll do without God. I don't know if it's a general consensus, but to be very honest, and it's something I tell God all the time, sometimes I just, you know, I'm like, God, I thank you for you. Like Travis Green says, thank you for being God. Because if I was God, I thank God I'm not God. But anyway, back to the study, right? If you allow yourself to be led by your flesh, you'll gratify it. Because like, you know, the previous verses say, there will always be a conflict between your flesh and your spirit. But you have to make the choice as a spirit being to decide that by virtue of who I am, by virtue of the price that has been paid, by virtue of the Holy Spirit in me that I am walking with and walking by, I will stay away from these things. Because it says that you will not inherit the kingdom. Like you won't. And God, he doesn't... To be honest, if you think that... You are playing with God. The joke's on you.
Okay.
It is, right, Eddie?
All right. Okay. I like the part that you said that the Holy Spirit does not put restriction on us. I don't know why we tend to think that when you work with the Holy Spirit, you actually put yourself in bondage. It's totally different. It's rather the contrary. Because it's rather when you put yourself under the influence of the flesh, is death. Bible says the fruit of the flesh is death. So I don't know why we think that the Holy Spirit is rather putting restriction in it. But let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is a person. It's not some abstract thing that Christian people have conjured, but it's a person.
It's not an it.
The Holy Spirit is a person. And Bible says he is a comforter. It's like, I don't know, it's like a helper. Because you can't do this life alone. Because there's limitation. Bible said, by the arms of flesh, you fail. There's limitation to the flesh. There's a limit. There's a boundary. And there's a line that the flesh can't cross. So there's so much limitation and restriction in the flesh. What to make us a soul in life is the help of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit and you are going through serious, I told you last time we were talking about pain, we are going to serious issues and serious pain. Without the Holy Spirit being your comforter, I don't know who anybody will comfort you.
You are done for.
Because nobody will comfort you. Your friends will come and do some fake things for you. But then genuinely, if you need a comforter, he's there. If you need somebody to guide you to make the right decision, he's there. He's an encourager. He gives you strength. So I don't know why you would want to do life alone, all by yourself, and ignore the Holy Spirit that is there. I'm sure, I don't know, those who like watching wrestling, there are times that you go to battle or you go to wrestle with your partner. One stands behind the ring and then you battle the other person. And if you are being beaten, say they are beating you, but if the other person is giving it to you and is beating you, you just have to stretch your hand towards the other person and the person will just stop and come and help you. But it's like now you are doing life all alone. You hear, it's so sad that you hear a Christian committed suicide, died of depression. I'm like, oh, the Holy Spirit is there. Why do we ignore him? Because so we actually trying to ignore the Holy Spirit because he's actually our help. And then most of the times we are doing like I was giving the Holy Spirit is standing behind the ring, stretching his hands, like tap me, I'll come and help you when we decide to do life alone. So Christians should not even die of depression. I know a lot of people come against me by saying this, but mental health is important. But I think that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, is our help. Now, the flesh put a lot of restriction on us. The fruit of the flesh is dead. Anything that the flesh gives is dead. It's like the devil giving you this. Eventually, it's just for a short time, but eventually it leads to death. And I think God has to open our eyes to see this. You have to open our eyes to see that the Holy Spirit is our helper.
Awesome. Thanks, Edmond. And then finally to the last part, okay. If you've listened this far, you're assuming, oh my gosh, we're just waiting for them to lambast us about sin. And they probably do wrong things themselves. Oh yes, we do. And we are walking by the Spirit to guide us in making better decisions. We know that we make mistakes sometimes, but the Holy Spirit is helping us every day and making us better. And that's the point of this podcast, to guide you and let you know that, you know, like as Paul wrote here, he said everything we are saying is not our words. You realize it's right from the scripture. But you realize that in 22, he says, all these things are happening, right? Gratifying the flesh is causing all these problems. However, I have a solution for you. But the fruit of the Spirit, it says, the result of his presence within us, the result of walking by the Spirit, the result of walking in the Spirit is love. Unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while waiting, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such, there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature together with its passions and appetites. 25, if we claim to live by the Holy Spirit, we must also walk by the Spirit with personal integrity, godly character, and moral courage, a conduct empowered by the Holy Spirit. We must not become conceited, challenging, or provoking one another, envying one another. I really, really like 22 because it also reminds me of a song that I was taught in Sunday school about the fruits of the Spirit. So it's really stuck in my head. But I just want you to know that, yes, the fruits of walking in self-life when the sinful nature are evident, right? And walking in them, habitually, consciously doing the wrong thing and ignoring the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit is not the way. What you should do, Edmond mentioned that walking by the Spirit includes spending time with him, reading the scripture, Our desire to be more like him would reap the fruit that it should, right? Once we are walking by the Spirit, once we are spending time with him, we will become like him. We will have love, which is unselfish concern for others. Joy. Like, joy is some sort of, like, happiness. Happiness doesn't even come close to joy. Joy is just that innate excitement, genuine, even when things are not going the way that you expect that they would go. It's because you know that the Holy Spirit has it in control. Like, he's got you. You don't have to worry at all. And what's the point in worrying? You can't even create one single hair on your head. And he knows how many they are. And he knows that one. Well, currently I just pulled my hair out. And the Holy Spirit knows that it has come off. Can you imagine? And that is what he gives you when you walk by the Spirit. When you have him with you. Kindness, goodness. Sometimes you wonder that, this person, are they okay? I know somebody in my life. Sometimes I really like, I watch them and I'm in awe. You can tell that they are upset, but the way they keep their calm and make sure that they don't say words that will like put you down. Just that understanding of others, right? Giving even when it's their last penny. Just self-control. Self-control against sinful fleshly desires. Even self-control against eating a lot. And the Holy Spirit gives us all of these. So this Bible study is really to encourage you to just walk by the Spirit so that you do not gratify the desires of the flesh. The Holy Spirit wants to hold your hand so you don't hit your foot against a stone. He wants to do this with you, but you have to allow him.
All right. Thank you, Adria. So what the flesh offers. Okay, now I want to list what the flesh offers us and then list what the Holy Spirit offers us. Now what the flesh offers us is sickness, suffering, pain. The pleasure that the flesh gives us is just for after sex, if it's sex, 15 minutes. And then it leaves you empty. So the flesh leaves you empty. You might think smoking, alcohol would make you fulfilled or filled up, but after you are done with it, it leaves you empty. After you finish with the alcohol, now you face reality. It comes back to leave you empty. So that's what the flesh leaves you with. Now let's come back to the Holy Spirit. Oh, thank God for the Holy Spirit. Because you can't do life without the Holy Spirit. Because have you seen somebody with self-control before? Because food, men, we like food. I think men like, everybody likes food. I'm not going to make it a gender thing. I use the word men because we're talking at the Bible. When they say men, it refers to everybody. But everybody likes food. And then naturally, if you see food, you will rush to it before your senses say, hey, master, calm down. There are people here. Or when somebody, I remember, I think that times, moments in my life that I knew that the Holy Spirit actually lives in me. One of those moments was, I was talking to my pastor, like we're having a normal chat, and I was in white shirt. And then daughter intentionally poured ice cream on my shirt. I just looked at it, smiled, and continued to talk with pastor. And pastor was like, she just poured this thing, won't you get angry? I'm like, oh, really, I'm supposed to get angry? Those are the signs of the Holy Spirit in me. Because anybody would have reacted. And then one thing to that made me realize that the Holy Spirit lives in me was I grew up with my aunties and my grandma. I used to have issues with my grandma a lot. Issues with my grandma. And then I traveled and I came back. When I came back, she was down with stroke. This is so personal. But she was down with stroke. And I saw the tiredness on my mom's face because she was the one taking care of her and at the same time going back to work. Like, okay, I told him that I want to volunteer. I don't know where this thought came because I'm a guy and then she's an old lady. So normally a lady or a woman should take care of her. But I told him that they should go to work. I will stay home and take care of her. He's like, really? But you want to study? You have to go. I said, no, I want to stay home and take care of this woman. And What even made them surprised was like, you and this woman, you are not fine. So, you saying that you want to stay, we don't want to go back and later come back, you've poisoned her, or you've killed our mother, or you've killed our mother for us. Because they didn't understand, because we are not fine. Anytime we meet, we quarrel, like, you are not fine. And then you want to volunteer and take care of them. That was their worry. Because I saw their worry. They were like, oh, you came back, young man, you have to spend, you have to go. But I knew that their worry was that the way these people are not fine, one day we'll come back and this boy has killed the old lady. Has killed the old lady or poisoned the old lady. But I also didn't know where the thought came from. And I took care of this woman. I don't know where the love came. She was actually my best buddy. I took her, cleaned her up, and did everything. Like, I would sing, I'll cook for her. And I was like, oh God, where is this love coming from? Where is this love coming from? And even when I look at the suffering down on the face, and I become sad, like, hey, isn't this the same woman I was having issues with, problem with, crying with? Where did this love actually come from? And then that's when the Holy Spirit told me, I heard a voice saying that, it's God, this love is from God. It's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It comes naturally to you. You don't have to struggle to be a good person, to be kind or to be gentle. There's this aura around you that people wouldn't understand. That it's not like you are forcing it or you are pretending to be. It comes naturally to you when you allow the Holy Spirit to influence your life. You wouldn't force to love somebody. You won't be selfish. You'll be humble. But I mean, the best thing is the self-control. You have self-control. Because if you have self-control, you enter into so many problems and you lead into so many ditches. So, guys, the Holy Spirit is actually good for us. He doesn't put us into bondage. It's for our own good. Whatever God says we should do or we shouldn't do, it's for our own good. It's not supposed to put us in bondage, but we will enjoy life after it, like sweet life after it. And life will be struggle-free. Even the struggle, we'll find joy and happiness in it. I think I've spoken too much.
Thank you so much for sharing, Eddie. And I like that you shared with us practical examples of how the Holy Spirit can transform you when you least expect it. And like he said, it comes naturally to you because you spend time in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is it. The more, I don't know if you've heard of that, but you realize that couples who live together, sometimes they look alike, they can finish each other's sentences, etc. And even as a child, when you live with your parents or your guardians, like, you can just tell, right, a lot about them, and you can even pretend to be them if you look alike or sound alike. But that's what it is with the Holy Spirit. The more time you spend with the Holy Spirit, the more you become like him. And so the things that he will do, just his calmness, his softness, his sternness when necessary, all of that, you kind of just naturally, you know, zoom into becoming like Christ. And it's my prayer for every single person listening that this Bible study would make you go back to read Galatians 5 yourself, verses 1 to 25, I believe, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to and through you, because there's so much going on. Like, do not let people force you to gratify the flesh. Don't be in places where you are almost left. You always have a choice, but you are almost like, you feel you don't have a choice because everybody is doing, like, exit the chat. Somebody is sending explicit stuff and, you know, leading you to do sexual things you don't want to do. Exit the chat. You have to exit that friendship group for your own sake and count on the Holy Spirit as a friend. Trust me, one of the things I'll never forget is whilst in school, high school, secondary school, I always prayed for friends, university. I would always pray, Father, may you connect me to spiritual friends who understand what this journey means. You will find friends that are going to help you on the journey. So don't feel like you're alone, everybody is doing it. If it's just me and the Holy Spirit, I'll be a loner. You'll never be a loner. And you remember what Prophet Elijah, when he thought that he was the only one, God told him, look, I have how many hundreds of prophets? You are with me, but there are many others also with me, right? So you are never alone. There's always a great community. And hopefully this podcast becomes the community. Even though you don't see our faces, at least you hear our voices you hear our voices encouraging you. And just so you know, we are equally on the same journey as you. We are all walking. We are all learning to walk by the Spirit by spending time with Him. And so I'm excited to be sharing this with you today. I pray that you are blessed. If you do not know the Holy Spirit, if you do not know Christ Jesus, please, He is one of the most amazing people. Like, He wrote your story. Can you believe it? He formed you. Before you were formed, He even knew you. He really loves you, right? So if you don't know Him, or you're struggling with some sort of, you know, addiction or something like that, you can send us a message on this podcast, or find a Bible-believing church and just go. Ultimately, spend time praying and asking Him whatever you want to. Tell Him, look, you have made me free, and so I walk in this freedom that you have already given me. You need to declare that over your life. And stay away from the things that keep you in bondage. Eddie, can you pray with anyone who would like to give their lives to Christ?
Okay, so let's pray. Father, Lord, we want to thank you. We want to thank you for our dear lives. We want to thank you for the podcast. Father, we pray that through this podcast, our eyes will be opened. We will encounter you. We'll come to know the Holy Spirit. We'll allow ourselves for the Holy Spirit to work through us. This and many other things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. If you said this prayer, like I said, find a Bible-believing church, find a Christian community, message us on this podcast, let's connect, and see what resources we can share with you so that you can know Him more and walk with Him. I can't wait to have you on our next episode. It's going to be super interesting, and I pray that it blesses you as much as it has blessed us. See you. Bye.